Trying to figure out how to use the new microphone. Yesterday was my first experience with it, so in the middle of the wedding, I couldn't figure out how to turn it on. But we... he didn't train me. He bought the microphone and just expected me to figure it out. And I am an audio engineer, but that was back when we were just using tin cans and string. You know, so, you know, that was a while ago. So I'm not that up on it anymore. I couldn't turn that new board on if I had to. Well, here we are. I am on the cusp of a sabbatical. I mean, just probably 90 minutes away. But who's counting, right? And Friday, Pastor Eric Dooley. How many know Eric Dooley, right? Eric Dooley texted me. He was going to be your speaker today. He is in bed. He is sick. He has just finished his PsyD, doctorate in psychology. He has finished his thesis and turned it in. All he's got left to do is defend it. I guess that's hard. I don't know. But I think he just crashed and burned. But he had said he just got home from the doctor. He had a sack full of prescriptions. He texted me this morning. He's still sick, which is unusual for Eric. So bad cold or something. I don't know what he's got, flu, something. But anyway, pray for him. So anyway, here we go. So I, yesterday morning before the, what did we have yesterday? The Verway wedding. Thank you, Shannon. Great. We had a good time. It was pretty cute. John just can't hardly get up in front of a crowd anymore without crying. I love it. And that was really great. I thought the best part was right before he pronounced them man and wife, he just decided, I can't do this, and he kind of walked off. You know, I thought that was kind of fun. I'm going to have to save that one for October from when Chelsea's here. When this guy, Warden, called, I do have a message. I got it ready before the sermon, just a little thing I want to give to you. But when this guy that is going to marry Chelsea, his name's Norton Warden. What's his name? Neuenschwander. Not all who are lost are Neuenschwander. Whatever. How'd that go? Not all Neuenschwander are lost. Warden Neuenschwander. I may have told you this, but he Skyped us and talked to us about the weather for about 45 minutes. And, you know, how's the family and the dogs and, you know, all that stuff, you know, before he got around and asking if he can get married, you know. So he said, well, I want to marry your daughter. And I said, well, I won't give her to you, but I'd sell her. They're expensive, right? Huh? Okay, shaking his head. Yeah. Man, they're complicated. Well, I have a story for you. I have a sermon illustration, but it has nothing to do with my sermon. It's just funny. And, what I get? Two goats. Well, that's just a down payment. Trevor promised me a drift boat. I know, but I had to build it and pay for it myself with Mitch. Poor Mitch. You owe Mitch a lot of time and welding and stuff. Anyway, don't pop the slide up till I tell you, but is it up? Did you know there's a slide? Did you find that slide? It's a slide of, I'll just read it to you, but that's all right. But anyway, when we went to Japan this summer, the reason I haven't really talked about it is I just kind of figured out what happened about a couple months ago. But I'd been traveling quite a bit, and I don't know if it was my Ambien moment. I do take Ambien when I travel to get over the jet lag. But I woke up in the morning to a really confusing text message from Will, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I would have shared it with you guys that were over there with me if I had finally, I didn't put it together until I got back. And I finally kind of, I just blew it off. You know, Will's always sending me something real weird. And so I thought, well, whatever. So then I kind of traced back, and I had texted him in the middle of the night and didn't know it. So it was either jet lag or the Ambien, but I texted him, do you have snakes? And he wrote back with a couple emojis. If you find that, you can put up a couple emojis. Holy pythons. This is what he wrote back. Holy pythons, bats in the belfry, man. No. Do you? If you do, where are they? And how did they get in? Man, that's just creepy. I have no
I have no memory. I mean, he could have came in and texted himself on my phone. I don't have a clue how that got on there, but do yo have snakes? So, I don't know. I kind of have a little compassion for Roseanne now, or whatever her name is, you know, whatever she got accused of. I can't even get my forecoat off. Yo have snakes? I think I'm just going to take that Ambien all the time now, and then I got an excuse for just being weird. That'd be good. Well, I want to give you a few, just a couple of scriptures and a couple things to think about. And really, this is just a little bit of some of the stuff that I do when I'm on sabbatical. But I wrote down, I gave you actually notes, but it's kind of not even noteworthy, but it's something I just want you to think about. And I wrote down, what's the plan? Question mark. What's the plan? So what is the plan? What does God have for you to be and do? Those are the big questions that are really important that we don't really take the time to ask because we're pretty busy a lot of times. And sometimes we're busy because of realistic crises in our life or those kinds of things. Sometimes we're just trying to do stuff to make ourselves feel good. And if we can kind of calm down and recognize where we're at with God and take some time and find out what his plan is, it works better. And we find out life is much more beneficial. And that's a real major reason that I stop for this season and time. I just stop. Nothing is important except for hearing God. And occasionally I get into something, you know, really usually every sabbatical I get into some kind of weird side hobby. Like a couple of years ago, they make fun of me because I had about 26 hummingbird feeders up, you know, and I get a little, Trevor just... Well, there are three different varieties of hummingbirds in the area. Only one of them stays, and he's not good looking. Two of them fly south. I can't remember. I used to know the names and the genus and all that stuff, you know. But Trevor started making fun of me. He just said, dude, you gotta get back to work. So this year I'm going to knit car covers. If you guys want one, just let me know. You know, we'll make one up for you. So... get it all figured out. But anyway, what's the plan? God's got a plan for you. He's, you know, I mean, I think when we begin to recognize the deep desperation of our life and the crisis that, you know, we don't really recognize that, especially in the West, of what God has rescued us from. Our, you know, ultimately, without Jesus, we're really faced with this eternal terminal death. You know, it's just this destruction of our souls. We've drifted so far from God, we're seeing ourselves much less than God really has made us to be. We all struggle with that. And when we recognize that God has redeemed us, he's come in and said, look, I'm going to pay this price. You know, I've suffered this thing that you were going to end up suffering. You may not know it now. Everything may seem great, but this suffering was going to come into your life at some point that was going to last for eternity. And I've rescued you from that. I think our natural response should be, if we could get our brain around it, well, then what do you have for me? You know, what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? And so many times we get overwhelmed with, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do today? What am I going to do to make myself happy? What am I going to do for my job? And the question first needs to be is, what am I going to be? You know, what am I? And first of all, is that place of, you know, being in a place to hear what God tells you who you are and what you're worth, so that none of the things you do are done in a way that you're using those to define you or to make you valuable. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we can strive first to know God and for him to tell us who we are, then whatever we do can be things that he asks us to do. And we can do those without pressure. We can do those with joy. We can do that with the fullness of who he is. And that's really a key important thing to having a Sabbath and sitting down with the Word every day, rather than just knowing things and doing things. If we're stopping everything somehow every day for a few minutes, is to hear God. God, tell me that you love me. Tell me who I am. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me, you know, that kind of thing. it puts the rest of life in a healthier place. And it's a learned behavior. It's something we don't value very easy, and it's something that comes against our fallen nature. And so it's hard work. So it's something you kind of got to write on your calendar. Somehow you got to do it so that it happens. And it doesn't have to be long and involved. It can just be refreshing. And so I want to give you just a few scriptures, and then we're going to eat cookies. All right? Are we good with that? All right? Parents, your kids are having some donuts in one of the classes, I heard, right? So I don't know what age group that is, so Gary just kind of broke into tears. Anyway, I want to look at Isaiah 26, 7 through 10. I want to ask the question, do you all got snakes? I love this scripture because it really lays it out. And I just read this. It was in my devotional stuff yesterday morning. And it summed it up so well. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. So the closer we get to God, the more we move towards God, the more he goes in and levels the path. And this is kind of based on a principle that happened in Old Testament times, an action that happened in preparation for royalty to travel. There was a crew that went ahead of them, the royal chariot and all that stuff, and got rid of all the rocks and cut down all the bushes and filled in all the holes and ravines and hard places and just went ahead and built a road before them so that the royalty that was being carried or wheeled had a smooth ride. And so what this scripture is alluding to is that cultural principle is that as we seek God, we discover that he goes before us and prepares our road. Now, we still live in a crisis, barren, broken world, you know, but still, let me just ask you a question. Would you rather do it on your own, or would you rather have the Lord go before you? See? And the better we get at seeking God, the more we discover how to follow him on that trail. And a lot of my problems in life are usually when I go off trail, right? I go off trail. I go off the path that he's prepared for me. All right? So picking it back up, verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. And it's basically saying we find rest when we do that. We find rest when we do that. We wait. That scripture isn't really speaking to the fact that we're sitting around, where are you? It isn't talking about that. It says that as we seek God, we're comfortable resting. That's a better interpretation of that for us in our world. Verse 9, my soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. So there is a sense that says, look, we can choose one aspect of this. We can choose to turn our face to the Lord or not. We can entertain him or not, right? He's always there. But we can choose to entertain the presence of the Lord and hear his voice, spend time with him, stop, or not. When we do, we receive whatever it is that's all around us already anyway, you know, that he has for us. He has reached into our lives. He has made us righteous. That's your first point there. He's made us righteous. He's made us right. We didn't make ourselves right. We can't make ourselves righteous. And when we do that, when we turn to him and made, you know, he makes us righteous and we can hear him. We have been justified. I like that concept of being justified that Paul talks about so much in Romans. Matter of fact, the scripture I gave you for this made righteous point, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have all been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can try to justify ourselves. Or we can let Jesus justify us, right? Justifying ourselves, think about all of the things that mistakes we've made in our life. What happens when you have someone who comes to you that's made a mistake and won't own up to it? And they tell you all the reasons they make the mistakes. That's self-justification. Have you ever experienced that or done that? I mean, I think we've probably all done that or we've all experienced it. If you're a parent, you've experienced it. You know, why did you tip over the water cooler? Well, because my hand was being hit by my brother's eye. And he pushed it with his eye into the, you know, right? You know, that's self-justification, that kind of process. But it's refreshing when somebody says, look, I screwed up, man, I'm sorry. And when we do that process and turn ourselves to God, to him, then he justifies. He says, it's okay. He's owning up to this. He recognizes he needs me. He's with me. He is justified because of what I have done on the cross. He's with me. She's with me. Sorry, ladies. I just left you out. A whole group of people there. They're justified. So he has made us righteous. He's justified us, and we have peace in that. We don't need to worry about anything else. And when we stop for a minute, we realize that. We don't need to worry, what do I need to do to make God love me? What do I need to do to make God accept me? What do I need to do? What offering? That's the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. There's a couple major differences. One of them is you don't ever know, except in Christianity, whether you have been justified or not. And two, you don't really know where you're going to end up if you do make it. In Christianity, we know this. We know that he justifies us. There's nothing we can do about it. And he makes us righteous. And number two, we end up with him in his kingdom, wherever that is at the time. See? We have those absolutes. And that's what this scripture is talking about, that. Stop. Stop, wait, rest in that and know that. And number two, he's given us a purpose and a path. Purpose and a path. Acts 2:28, you have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. You have been made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. I've been reading, I didn't think I was going to talk about this, but I will, but a little bit, but I've been reading about purpose, and I've been reading about post-traumatic growth. And recently, three different books. And they have discovered that happiness doesn't happen without purpose. The pursuit of happiness never works. These are full-on Harvard, Yale, Ivy League, you know, schools in the U.S. and around the world that are doing research, is that happiness can never be satisfied. The only thing that brings contentment is discovering complete purpose. What is your purpose? Why do you exist? That's why when I talk to people about marriage, you will never be happy if you're depending upon your spouse to make you happy. You have to start out with the reality of this one question. How can you answer this? What is the purpose? Why has God got you together in this relationship? Then when you answer that question, then you'll be happy. Matter of fact, we're going to try and convince small group leaders to do spend a couple months on a program called Family ID with some videos this year that helps you talk about, that gives you some talking points to process that. And we've done that in some other groups. Some of you guys have been involved with that, and it's really good. But purpose is more important than happiness. What is that path? What is that purpose that God has given you? It's more than the short-term events and the short-term relationships that produce happiness. It's a bigger, general sense of calling. And what they have discovered is that people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, at least 50% of them, unencouraged by any counselors or anything, say, you know what? Whatever that was that happened to me, I don't want it to happen again. But I'm glad it happened. My life is radically different. I would have never ended up being involved in doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for this event. One story I read was about a guy who had been able to retire really early in Florida, and he had invested well. He was a plumber or something like that, and bought properties and rented them and stuff. And he spent from about 50 years old, working on his motorcycle and riding and traveling around with his wife. Excuse me. In their motorhome and having a great life, really having a great life. And he had just put a $1,000 lighting kit in his motorcycle, and he was riding it up to Daytona. He was sitting in a long line of cars waiting for the light to change, and a woman coming up from behind him didn't see the light change, and he was the last, and she rear-ended him going full bore, threw him about four cars ahead. He landed on top, broke his back, a lot of bones and stuff like that, and died right there on top of the car. They resuscitated him, got him back to the hospital. He died a couple more times. The hospital resuscitated him. They gave him about 14 pints of blood. His blood pressure was so low they couldn't give him any pain medication for a week. So he was laying in bed and just said, if this is it, God, I'm done, man. You got to get me out of here. Recovered from that, but he ended up being a paraplegic. And he thought, I'm going to shake this off in a couple weeks, and he never did. Well, he ended up becoming an advocate and a participant in the lives of people who were like him, encouraging these guys and women, men and women to move on in their lives and helping them, you know. And he just had this awesome life. I mean, he had enough money. It was just all about toys and entertaining himself and doing all this stuff. But he said if it was not for that woman, he said he was so grateful for that woman hitting him, that he would not know the fullness of life that he had now. Because before, all he had to do was entertain himself to keep himself happy. Now he had purpose. He had people to serve. He just said, I can't imagine going back. That's what he says. I can't imagine going back. Oh, yeah, he wished he wasn't in a wheelchair and stuff like that. But he goes around. He takes people bowling. He takes people to the doctor. He, you know, helps them. He gets on their feet again. They do all, encourages them. You know, just optimistic stuff. This incredible crisis that you know, he says, I wished it hadn't happened, but I'm glad it did, because now my life has meaning. So although the happiness stuff was nothing compared to the purpose stuff, but how much better is it to have Divine Father God without having to go through a motorcycle wreck give us our purpose, give us our plan, show us the plans of life? And the side benefit, if you have some crisis in your life, what a great opportunity to discover something new about where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to go. See, Christianity isn't about what do I give up, you know, stuff falls off your life. Christianity is about gaining the confidence that you have life with your Heavenly Father forever, and gaining a full purpose, a full plan for your life. And all it requires of us is to sit down or find whatever way it is, to take a few moments on a consistent basis to detach from what's going on around us and say, what is it, God? What is this incredible thing? And you know what it is it's awesome, because it doesn't just happen once. It develops every day of your life if you give it opportunity to. There's more and more and more and more and more that can come about no matter how old you are. Whether you're a little kid or you're up there, it doesn't make any difference. Every day has a new revelation about the coolness and greatness of something that God has for you to be and do. Every day. And in light of that, the sacrifices that he may ask us to do, you know, so that the way is cleared for you to enter into that, become just, you know, it's like, who cares? I can't think of really anything I don't like saying this out loud, but, you know, I like horsing around and having fun with stuff, but I can't think of anything that's really that important to me. You know what I mean? That I can't live without. Now, Lord, help! Don't test me on that right now. I'm going on sabbatical. I say that with a certain amount of fear, but hearing the plan of God for your life and who you are and the value of who you are from Him, from His mouth, and He will speak. He will speak. You know, it may not be in a way that you think, but He will speak. That is something else to get that, to hear that from Him. Amen. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time working on that. And if I don't, then I'm doing what I'm doing today, and that's kind of pulling together a few things from yesterday. And I want to be a little, you know, for you guys, I want to be a little farther along in the curve for you and be able to do my job a little better. And I'd challenge you guys to take some time too. You know, entertain yourself, have a good time, take a vacation, but also take some time to find out who you are and what God has for you. Amen? Why don't you stand up? Cookie time, is that what you said? All right. Hopefully the kids will downstairs will all be full of donuts, and then that'll give the adults a crack at the cookies. So, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've intervened in our life, God. Some of us are saying, wow, my life's pretty good. I didn't know I need that. Well, we all find at a certain point we do. Thanks for intervening in our lives, Lord Jesus. And thanks for having a plan for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear and know you and find out what that is, God. I pray for that for all of these folks here today now and those who couldn't make it. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you guys.